Hello and welcome to the Mula Podcast. My name is Margaret Wahito. Sometimes in 2015, a friend who we shall call Jane, for reason that will be obvious in a short while, asked me to be her partner in a venture she was undertaking. I was working in public relations and she wanted to do media campaign for a small corporate social responsibility program that a client in the financial service sector was doing. She was the one with a registered company, which meant she's the one who signed the contract. She requested we work together so that I bring in my expertise in PR, since she had no experience working with the media. The project involved having journalists from print and electronic media cover the CSR event for the client. Everything went well. There was sufficient coverage to make the client happy, and we all went home happy. The issue started when it came to the payment. Each of us were to take home 40,000 shillings minus the expenses. But that did not happen to my case. She got paid and took all the money. What followed was a lot of back and forth that did not bear any fruit. Eventually, I got tired and had to painfully let go of the money and, of course, friendship too. This short story about my experience is the topic of our podcast today, which is going into business with friends. Sometimes when you're starting out, a friend can be the best partner or supporter of your business. You know each other, understand each other's points of view, and have shared a lot about your fears and aspirations. While mixing friendship and business has its own unique set of challenges and difficulties, it can either be a good move for your business or a bad decision for your friendship. I'm sure you know so many people who've started businesses with their friends and are thriving, and also a number who ended up like my friend and I. To bring this into perspective and to give us insights on this, we are joined by Eric Musau, who is the Research Executive Director at the Standard Investment Bank. Welcome to Mula Podcast, Eric.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being here.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll start off, first of all, is it a good idea to do business with a friend or to start a business with a friend?
I think it's very natural to do that with a friend, with a colleague, with somebody you've studied with. And if you look at the success stories of some of the most common companies, are probably largest that we look around, they've it's been a history of friends working together or colleagues and so forth. In our industry, for example, Warren Buffett with Charlie Munger, in technology, Facebook with his Harvard friends. Google, Larry, and his friend, and they were both PhD students. So at the end of the day, I think it's very natural that you'd have somebody who you have an acquaintance with, sort of coming together and trying to come up with something.
Mm-hmm. Maybe what are some of the qualities to look out for to assure you of a long term friendship kind of business, if you're to start a business with a friend?
It's always tricky. I think at the end of the day, one has to consider the value everyone is bringing to the table in terms of the business. It may well be that based on just the job splits, you end up finding natural positions about what every person plays in the business. But I find it that over time it's much better if eventually third parties come in and the business kind of professionalizes from the initial kind of friend component. And businesses which bring in outside investors also tend to move in a lot faster because they bring in more, what you can say, probably corporate governance. They try and put in structures as well, make the founders a lot more accountable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would say that also helps a lot.
On the other hand, what are some of the warnings you'd maybe tell you cannot start a business with a friend, but you can just be friends or someone you know?
Well obviously, if a friend is starting a business, you need to make an objective assessment whether it's something that is viable. Because at the end of the day, there's an element of risk that is involved in businesses, and there's no guarantee that there's going to be success. So that That's an important one. If there's an element of dishonesty, even with small amounts, you can imagine in a business that becomes very serious, especially when you end up growing larger. So you cannot, that element of trust is quite important at the very beginning to ensure that you're getting into business that, with somebody that you trust. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say there are quite a number of things, but at the end of the day, one has to make that assessment. And at the end of the day, you don't get into a business which you're not very sure that you can successfully run or you well understand, even if the opportunities might look good. And at the end of the day, you should just be ready to lose capital if you're not so sure. Maybe just give somebody almost, I don't want to say as a gift, but one has to be really prepared about the risk component of such business ventures.
Mm-hmm. I know at Standard Investment Bank, you deal with a lot of investment and maybe managing people's money. If you're to recommend from that perspective as an expert, what would you recommend for people perhaps who want to bring in money, want to start a venture together?
So as an investment bank, we clearly have three distinct areas. So we have our trading business. So that's where we allow investors to trade bonds and shares on the Nairobi Securities Exchange. So that's a trading business. And here you don't really require a partner to really put in your money. And you just decide on which shares you're going to buy and you do it directly, unless you're doing it through a chama, for example, or investment club. The other element is asset management, and we do have, you know, a flagship product, Mansa X, where, you know, we help investors invest in global instruments, and we do it ourselves through our money manager license. And then for the advisory business, this is where we actually do structured advisory for businesses. And we get all sorts of transactions. So you could have a large business which just wants to list on the stock exchange, bring in more investors, and we're able to structure that. It could be a family business where you want to bring in other investors, either privately or through the market, and that's also okay, and we're able to walk through that. If you are several partners or you started on the business and, you know, how do you want to exit, or maybe one partner wants to exit, we can find somebody to purchase that stake and so forth. So it's depending on where you fall in those three buckets, one can actually make a choice and we're able to converse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a long-term way how to avoid just losing money? Some of the things maybe people ignore that come to hit them at the end and they can't do anything.
Yeah, I think it's really being very deliberate when setting up what the goals are likely to be and ensuring that there is proper accountability on the business side in terms of reporting. Because it's one thing to lose money because the business has failed, but quite another because of a fraud or if there wasn't proper controls. And so one has to be able to differentiate the two elements. And if it's a business, one has to really understand what are the business strengths, what are the weaknesses, are the people able to execute it? Is the market receptive of the product? Because at the end of the day, it's the market which kind of dictates the outcome of a business. And it may well be that you have two friends, well-meaning, putting their sweat into this business, putting their resources, but they still don't succeed. But it doesn't mean there's a fraud there. It may just mean that, you know, the product wasn't well positioned, and that's why you never really got success. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Friendship built on trust. Often you have one person being trusted with the business until the business stabilizes. How do you recommend negotiating this delicate issue?
One business partner being trusted to run the business. Yeah. And I think we've had such a case, and I think it worked. I think they had Trigger is probably one of the most successful businesses. And I think we did have one partner run the business for a while, and after some while, the other partner sort of came on board and sort of continued. I think that's a good example that it can actually be done. It really means the two partners need to have a lot of trust with each other to really get it going, so that, you know, when one partner doesn't feel like they're losing out or putting in too much, or if they're not able to provide the value that they could have put in at a particular point, then there's sufficient exit mechanisms. Because I think that's usually something that's usually not thought through very well at the beginning, because you're just starting off.
Like when you attempt for me to exit?
Yes, what happens? Because one has to think through, initially you're working three people, and you're all putting in almost equivalent time. But what if family circumstances, or for whatever reason, one has to drop off? Maybe initially you're just sharing 30% each or something like that. And maybe what happens at the exit point? So that maybe if it's salary, so that maybe there's a vesting arrangement where, for example, if you stay in this business for this long, then you're eligible for this much even when you exit. And then you separate the ownership and income so that, you know, one can be a shareholder but not necessarily being active in the business. Mm-hmm. So that if you are working in the business, there's a salary component, but whoever is an owner gets the dividend component. So you can try and structure things that way in order to ensure that the day there's a split, for example, one partner who's remained in the business still gets a salary, but they still get an additional income through the shareholding that they have. And that really helps sort of manage some of the situations that arise mm-hmm. over time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do I recover my money if a friend or business partner takes off? Are there any laws in place maybe you know from your experience?
Well, obviously, it ends up being a fraud situation if there's a fraud situation. If it's a business loss, depends on the type of loss. Because if it's equity, essentially if you're a shareholder, essentially if you lose money out of a business process, you've lost money because you're kind of the one bearing the risk. If you gave debt and maybe it was secured against a partner's asset, then you can probably go after the asset. But that presents all sorts of problems, especially if you intend to maintain a friendship thereafter. But yeah, I think there are all those intricacies that come through. But there's always, depending on the agreements that were in place when somebody was coming in, there's always mechanisms around that. And for a fraud scenario, of course, that one, there's legislation, government to be able to back you up on that.
Maybe lastly, as a person, have you ever lost a friend who you started a business, and how was the experience? And are you still friends to date, if you ever had such an experience?
Yeah, it's actually very tricky. It's happened. And I've seen scenarios where people were best of friends when coming together, in fact, bringing us all together, maybe a couple of partners. But then when there's a fallout, you're almost being the one intermediating. And it's a very big challenge. And it comes from all sorts of misunderstanding, because not everyone might come from a business background. So the kind of experience each might have when getting into the business might not be sufficient to understand, for example, separation of ownership and management. Or, for example, being able to have the relevant disclosure, if it's financials, ensuring that every year, if you have minority investors, then you need to provide the financials in place. Having the right corporate governance. It's almost overstated, but you know, when you have a failure, that's when you realize the importance of such element. And, yeah.
Have you ever lost money, and did you go on being friends with that person?
Yes, I've lost money a couple of times, actually. I've invested in several businesses. I've invested in I invested in a real estate business which kind of lost money, and then it morphed into a manufacturing business for machine, which again kind of didn't really work out. And yeah, so we're still friends, but really not strong friends. But I still keep in touch with the entrepreneur. I was also in another investment group, which invested in...
like you contributed?
Yes, we contributed as a group. And we invested in two major businesses. One was renewable energy businesses, so LED installations. Mm-hmm. And there we lost money almost from the beginning. Maybe we should have one of the options we had as an investment group was to either purchase an existing business or start a business. For this one business, we opted to start our own because we thought the one we're trying to buy was a bit expensive from a valuation perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that didn't work out too well. I think we got one consignment into the country, and I think pre-shipment inspection was not done, so that was very serious for the business. Mm-hmm. So that didn't happen. I was more of trying to do local manufacturing, but the other partners were not in favor of it. So that eventually collapsed. The other one was a catering business, which actually did very well because we got to revenues of almost $1 million. But again, it also ended up in trouble. It's not yet closed, but yeah, it ended up with significant trouble. So we just gave up the share so that the founders can reorganize their finances.
Okay. Maybe going forward, would you still want to start a business with people you know? And what are some of the lessons you have picked?
Yeah, certainly. It's I think once you're an entrepreneur, you have that instinct of being in entrepreneurship. You're almost tempted to do it. Obviously, you are better educated. You're able to spot frauds from a bit far. And you're also able to just pass up opportunities, not because they are bad investment opportunities, but because maybe you may not have the level of control or oversight that you require. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You just wish the entrepreneur the best. And if they need support, you're able to do that. And as much as possible, I also have my own businesses that I do, and they just have people running them. That's also another option, and give them, you know, well-structured compensation structures. Of course, that has its own challenges because if you are alone, again, you're not so much accountable. So if the businesses don't grow as quickly, you don't have that investor pressure or corporate governance pressure to really get the business running. But certainly there are ways to grab around them. And entrepreneurship is really critical to any economy, and it's something that we cannot give up just because it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's what creates jobs in an economy, and so at the end of the day, you know, it's something that we need to keep at it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe lastly, anything that I've not mentioned about going into business with friends that you would want to add?
I think what I would say is, people just need to be very passionate with what they are doing. You might be surprised that somebody who's just very passionate about something which doesn't even look like a business might be more successful at turning it into a business than somebody who's just getting into a business which looks like it has money. That's another angle to look at it. So if you're getting into catering, you better get into catering with somebody who's very passionate with their food, for example. Yeah. You might not even know how to make money, but you're almost certain that they're going to do something different and influence the market.
So like get into business with people who are first of all passionate about the whole before looking into the money.
If somebody's just very passionate about something and they're doing something very creative, you're almost certain that they're going to do something different in the market. I mean, the catering business, I just tested the food once because there were two founders, and I could tell they were going to make a difference in the market, and they did. And I mean, with revenues of $1 million. Of course, the failure was caused by other things, but one tells that, you know, they were really going to change. And they did. Both of them have done quite well. I mean, of course, with some disappointments. But I think when one looks in hindsight, they really made a remarkable difference in the market. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Eric Musa, for those insights about going into business with friends. For these and more stories about personal finance, you can visit us on our website www.mula.co.ke or link with us on our social media pages. I was your host, Margaret Wahito. See you next time.